showers and storms in the forecast. Richard DeWedding at the Weather Channel for Town Square Media Tuscaloosa.
It's 87 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
It's time for the Miller's Edge with four-time SEC champion and two-time national champion Christian Miller.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
Here's college football playoff national champion
Christian Miller
on Tide 100.9
and 1230 AM WTBC.
Welcome into this Wednesday edition of Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230. WTBC, hope you guys are doing well. Hope you guys are ready for another, I guess, interesting day, I'd say, here on the show, Chase. Now, we don't have anything huge going on necessarily. Tomorrow, I feel like we're flooded with guests. We'll have Clint joining us again on Thursday. We punted that a couple days this week. Again, we'll have Adam at the top of the hour, Brandon Clear. And then even, I don't know if we'll be able to squeeze it in. I might just save it for another day. But I was telling you guys about one of my teammates that I played with the Panthers, Marquise Haynes, right? He played at Ole Miss, played against him in college, and we both played outside linebacker with Carolina. And want to get him on the show. I think he's coaching some high school football now, Chase, but I wanted to bring him on because he always got something to say when it comes to Alabama. And I had reposted that picture last week of, you know, us in the weight room, and he has some jokes, whatever. So I'm like, you know what, man, I need to get you on the show because you always got a bone to pick with us here at Alabama. I said I wanted to get other people's perspectives. So I think it'd be good. We can get an Ole Miss perspective. Plus, I want to ask him, remember the whole Lane Kiffin drama? I want to ask him about that, Chase. I want to ask him about it and get his thoughts. Granted, you know, Marquise was there, I want to say up till maybe like 2017. But in terms of the comments of maybe it being a little tough to recruit there, I mean, Marquise, you know, committed to Ole Miss. He had a great career, by the way. He's one of the top leaders in sacks in program history, man. He's a dog. You talk about getting after the quarterback. Marquise, he's a special dude, man. But I want to get his thoughts on all that stuff. So I know he mentioned Thursday would work well for him this week, but I think maybe we either wait till Friday or punt it to next week so we have plenty of time because we are pretty much loaded tomorrow. But today, we're pretty much wide open. So that means you guys are welcome to jump in on the conversation. 205-342-9904 is the number. Still plenty to talk about. I know there's still more updates coming out with the whole Sorsby situation. Maybe talk a little bit about some recruiting, Chase, kind of piggyback off of that stuff. I know we've had Andrew Bone on the show give us a really good breakdown on all things recruiting. I know that's a big hot topic right now, so we might be able to dive into that a little bit. And we always can have some fun, man. There's something that came up, I think it was last week or maybe the week before, that I wanted to hit on. And of course, you know, we just kind of get rolling and we talk about a million different things and it kind of got behind us. But I think it came from the Dynasties podcast, if I'm not mistaken. But it was about, you know, picking one Alabama running back. And I kind of thought about this again because Ty Phillips committed to Alabama just a couple of days ago, made a comment about Alabama, their ability to, you know, pump out running backs into the National Football League. And I said, oh, yeah, I forgot about that graphic. And, you know, we had some fun playing the, you know, ranking the last 10 Alabama quarterbacks, but why not play a game with some of these running backs, which we have a long, lengthy history of. Which, speaking of Alabama running backs, I don't know if you guys follow Mac Wilson on Instagram, but he had posted like the other night, like some clips of him doing his thing. He's honestly, man, he's had a great last couple seasons with Arizona, man. He's like the leader of that defense right now, and he's been crushing it. Well, he posted a couple clips, Chase, and speaking of Alabama running backs, I noticed, I'm like, dude, every clip you're blowing up our own guys, man. First it was Josh Jacobs. I'm talking about, like, I mean, lay the hit stick, you know, Josh flew out of bounds. The other one, Jahmyr Gibbs. So I had to reply to him, like, yo, Mac, what's up, man? Like, what's wrong with B-Sci-Fi? Did somebody do something to you? Well, every clip, man, you're punishing one of our very own. And he just was laughing. He was like, bro, I ain't even peep. I was like, how did you not notice that? I'm like, bro, every clip, you're like, you're killing somebody from our very own school. But, you know, when you think about it, Chase, there's so many people in the league from Alabama, it's probably inevitable, right? I mean, think about how many Alabama running backs are still doing their thing, right? Derrick Henry, Jahmyr Gibbs, Josh Jacobs. I know Najee Harris was out in L.A. last. Am I missing anybody currently that's still, golly, am I missing somebody? I probably should have thought about this before. I'm saying, like, current Alabama running backs, other than those three off the top of my head. I'm sure there's probably a couple that are still in there, just more like reserves. Man, I don't know. You don't seem like you got an answer for me, Chase.
Is Brian Robinson Jr. still playing?
Oh, B-Rob. Thank you. There you go. I knew I was missing somebody. Thank you. B-Rob. That would make four. I feel like those are pretty good numbers. I mean, all those guys are at least three. I would say B-Rob with Atlanta, I'm sure he's probably going to be playing like second fiddle Bijan Robinson. But still, I mean, he's a starting caliber type guy. So, I mean, even just looking at those numbers themselves, man, I mean, there's a lot of production coming from the running back position out of Alabama. I think that might, I guess, top off that list, though, right? I don't know. We can probably pull it up during the break. Anyway, a lot of solid production there. I do want to play that game, though, a little bit. If you had to pick one, which I know everybody's probably going to lean towards Big Derrick Henry, why wouldn't you? But maybe there are some other answers. Because if you think about it, if you go back, Chase, there's some other guys in that lineup of running backs throughout the years that, I mean, Mark Ingram, right? Heisman Trophy winner. I mean, that's a big deal. He's a dog, right? He mentioning Josh Jacobs, I mean, Josh wasn't the most productive in college just because, remember, he was in a running back room filled with Najee Harris, Damian Harris. Hell, there's just a number of guys in there, right? I mean, he never was really like a true full-time starter other than maybe half a season, right? But I would argue, like, pound for pound, and if you include what he's done in the National Football League, I mean, he deserves to be up there with the top running backs that we've had over the last, I don't know what, two decades nearly. In my opinion, I respect Josh a lot in terms of like what he does on the football field, man. Like, I don't know. I just because he might not have the same accolades as some of those other guys, I think he deserves to be in that conversation. Chase is one of those top running backs that have come through it. But it's not easy. I mean, even other guys that weren't on there, T.J. Yeldon, I think he's kind of, you know, underrated, right? Kenyon Drake. I mean, dude, we have some dudes, man. Trent Richardson. I mean, the list just goes on. Well, sorry, I was waiting. I thought you had something to say, Chase.
Okay, you were saying the list, so I didn't want to be disrespectful.
No, you're good. I was like, wait, is Chase on mute?
No, my bad. No, I guess about Josh Jacobs, like, what about his game did you like when he was here at UA? Because he had to work. I know we had played a clip long ago when he was with, I think, the Pivot. Yeah, he was on there mm-hmm. for a little bit, and he talked about his journey. It was very, like, compelling. So I guess if you could, like, I know we're about to go to break soon, but like if you could share a story about him or just something that's so unique about Josh that just like a lot of people don't know because he has a very unique story.
Yeah, well, I mean, the story itself, right, which he's told a bunch, right? I think, you know, growing up, not really having a place to lay his head. I think he had to sleep in an SUV for maybe a number of months. And I don't know exactly how long, but I know the way he did grow up definitely had an impact on to the point where when he was in the dorms here, I think he naturally was like sleeping on the floor on the couch because he said that just felt more comfortable to him. So like if you go back and listen to his whole story, man, it honestly is incredible. But in terms about what he does on the field that I like so much, it's, without a doubt, it's the physicality. He's really an all-around back, right? But I mean, I think what stands out to me is the physicality that he plays with, man. Like, I don't know if you saw, there's a clip, you know, the NFL mics guys up and they'll play these clips and, you know, they'll post content with it. He's like running through guys and getting hit, and he's just like giggling. Like every clip, he's like, he's laughing every time he gets hit. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he dude loves contact, and he's kind of got that bowling ball build. I remember when we were training, because we both were training here for the draft, right, in the combine and stuff. And, you know, his 40, I think he ended up running like 4.6 or something, which we all know he's much faster than that. But if you just look at him, like his game speed is good. You know, he doesn't have the greatest top end speed, but he's got enough burst, right, that he can. Make big plays, but I think just the fact that this dude never shies away from contact. If you go back and watch when we played Oklahoma, that game clearly was personal for him. I mean, he wasn't trying to go out of bounds. He wasn't trying to go around anybody. He was trying to run through somebody's face every time he got the ball. And same thing with pass pro, man. Like, he's just a damn good competitor. And then when you talk about just the balance that he brings, I mean, he's still elusive. Right. I mean, like, he can make guys miss. He can catch the ball out of the backfield. He really can pretty much do everything you need him to do. But I think that one characteristic, if I had to pick one thing, is just the physicality and intensity that he plays with, man. That to me is what separates him. And I love to watch him. Like, I mean, because you just anytime he got the ball, man, like he's looking to make somebody pay, man. And like to me, I think that's how football should be played. And I think it sets the tone. Hell, I wish like to me, like you look at Daniel Hill. I hope he can try to, like, find ways to bring some of that to his game. You know, sometimes a lot of times guys like either have that or they don't, right? Like, you're not just going to, even though if you're a big guy, if you just weren't a very physical player naturally, it doesn't just come out of nowhere. But I think you can still kind of work towards that some. I don't know who we have currently that kind of brings that vibe to that running back room. I mean, maybe a guy like Crowell, maybe. I got to go back and watch. I feel like he was pretty physical maybe watching his tape. You would expect that out of Daniel Hill, but that's just not necessarily the player that he is naturally, but we'll have to see. But I think that would help this running back room, and I think it'd help the offense in general. I think it just sets the tone, man, when you have guys that play like that. But, yeah, I don't know. I got a lot of respect for JJ just playing with him. I mean, we were on special teams together, then watching him, end up being basically our running back one by the end of what year was that, like 2018, you know what I mean? And then seeing what he's doing now, leading the league and rushing yards, he's a dog. And I know he's kind of got some stuff he's dealing with off the field, and hopefully all that ends up, you know, taking care of itself, and hopefully everything, you know, the facts come out and all that is, he can put it past him if that in fact is kind of, I'm just going off of what the attorney said. I don't know all the facts, but hopefully that isn't something that disrupts his career, because, I mean, dude's still young. He's got plenty of football ahead of him, but find himself in a tough spot right now. Hopefully he can move past that, and hopefully everybody is able to move past that involved. All right, we got to hit a timeout. We come back. We keep on rolling. We'll definitely break down that little game. We'll pick our running back. We got to pick one. I guess I'm kind of hinting at who I might go with, but I'm gonna pull up the list. I'll pull it up for you guys. If you guys want to join the stream, do that at the Miller's Edge on YouTube, on X, on Facebook at Tide 100.9. You guys know the drill. We got to hit a quick timeout. We come back. We keep on rolling right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC.
9,000 for a free consultation, no fees unless we win. No representation is made that the quality of legal services to be formed is greater than that of other lawyers.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
Your front row seat to all things Alabama.
Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC, the home of Alabama Crimson Tide sports.
Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. All right, Chase, let's go ahead and just play this game real quick while we're talking about it. Picking an Alabama running back. Now, let me get it pulled up for the stream. That way we can put it on there for everybody to see. Again, at the Miller's Edge on pretty much any streaming platform. You guys can find us there. Chase, if you had to pick one Alabama running back over the last, I'd say last two decades, right, that dang near puts us around that 2006, 2007 range where Coach Saban first got here. You got a big list to choose from, which I'm trying to find this list. Dang, how much did they post? Was it not from the Dynasty? Do you remember the graphic I'm talking about? I swear it was from the Dynasty. And I know they posted it on Instagram. Did they not post it on their Twitter? Have you seen it on Twitter, Chase?
I can check really quickly for you.
I know it was on their Instagram page. Dang, now I'm kind of mad. I want to say it was, you had to pick one. It was a little bit different than the game with the quarterbacks where we were like ranking the quarterbacks, the last 10 quarterbacks. But this was more so, I think, just picking one guy. Let me check their Facebook page. It's going to make me mad, man. I'm like, dude, I swore it was on the Dynasty. Maybe not. Maybe they posted so much that he can't find it. We don't really need the graphic. We can just kind of go off of it with ourselves. I think we kind of named everybody. But let's say you're building a team, Chase. We'll just start there. You're building a team, and you got to build around one running back, right? I know everybody likes a stable 1-2 punch, which I agree, that's the typical thing. But we'll start with just one for now. out of all the running backs that Alabama's had in the last two decades, which one would you take, Chase, to build around your roster? And then I think maybe we can add a quarterback to it next. That'll be the next step. Let's start with the running back, even though it's a little backwards, but give me a running back, Chase. You had to pick one.
I got you, C-Mill. I would definitely go with Mark Ingram. I think Mark just embodied what UA was, even from someone that was the outside looking in. It just made you realize that he was just a big centerpiece when he was here at UA from, I think it was 2008 to 2010. They won it in 09, if I'm not mistaken. So I just feel like his elusiveness in the back, I think he wasn't that tall, but he made you pay for it, for sure, with his just how strong he was. I think the leadership role that actually helped him more in the NFL is such an underrated thing. You're so used to, like, quarterbacks, you know, linebackers being the voice of the locker room. Whenever Mark was on, whenever I saw him on, like, on TV, he was just always being a leader. You know, he never put himself first. He always put, you know, Coach Saban or, like, we could have done better. Like, he always just made sure the team ate first, and he did. And then, obviously, going into his NFL career, it was just meant to be with the Ravens and the Saints and so many other teams that he played for. But I just feel like his stats build it up. Looking at it right now, played 39 games. He had over 3,000 rushing yards. He had over 40 touchdowns. He was 83 yards per game. I'm not even thinking about receiving. Like, he was just a complete back, and someone that I would, if I gave the keys to and was like, look, I need you to set the offense right. We're down by a certain amount of points. Can you get this offense going? Mark is going to do that for him. I think just the way he used to terrorize SEC defenses, and they were like God tier back then. So I think the way he did that, it made it look so easy. I have to go with my guy, Mark Ingram.
You know what? I respect that answer. And here's what I'm going to say. I think people are probably going to be maybe a little confused when I say this, but here's the deal, man. If you're talking about only picking one, and finally I found the graphic. It was on their Instagram page. I knew I wasn't tripping. I'm going to share this real quick. It was only on their Instagram page. I swore it was on their Twitter account. I thought I saw it on Twitter too. I guess not. That said, and this actually wasn't even from the last two decades. This actually goes back because I see, isn't that Marlon Humphrey's dad? You got Bobby Humphrey up there. You got Sean Alexander. So this goes back. So we're pretty much saying of all time now, Chase. So I apologize. I guess the criteria is a little bit different. I think you probably would have stuck with Mark Ingram. That's a great answer, by the way. But they did show love to T.J. Yeldon, right? I see my guy Damon Harris, right? A lot of people. Did they put that grudge behind them yet, Chase? I feel like I haven't heard anything. Maybe let me be quiet because I don't want to re-spark anything. I feel like we haven't heard it yet. Nobody said anything recently, right?
It's been quiet, you know, like right, church so mouse.
Could we ask him to jump on the show without anybody getting pitchforks? I want him to. I don't know if he definitely I don't know if he'd want to at this point. He's probably sick of all that back and forth. But anyway, all right, so you can only recruit one. So that was the name of the game, and here it is. So Chase gave us Mark Ingram, which I think is a fair answer. Now, they were kind of trolling with this because if you click the next slide, it's like, hey, he's right here, relax. And it was Derrick Henry because everybody knew, right? They knew everybody would say, hey, where's Derrick Henry at on this list? Fair point. But here's what I would say, man. And this might be unpopular, but I probably wouldn't go with Derrick, even though Derrick is probably between guys like Josh, Derrick, like, I mean, some of my favorite teammates, right? Some of my favorite running backs that I played with, that I watched play the game. I actually would not go with I would not go with Derrick, and here's why. If we're only picking one is dominant as Derrick Henry was on the ground, one thing that Derrick lacked a little bit was catching the ball out of the backfield. That was one area of his game that wasn't necessarily, I would say, elite, right? He didn't have the best hands out of the backfield. And so for me, I would probably try to find somebody that I felt a little bit more confident in that ability. So I would probably lean towards JJ. I like the pick by Chase. I like your answer with Mark Ingram. I probably would lean towards Josh Jacobs, if I'm being honest with you, because I feel like he kind of encompasses everything that I just mentioned. Now, if we're talking about a 1-2 punch, that's a different story. I'm definitely taking Derrick Henry, and then I'm going to pair him up with a guy like Jahmyr Gibbs, and I think that's probably the best running back room of all time. I mean, they talk about a 1-2 punch. The combination of dudes, speed and power, I think we're set. I wouldn't even be mad if they just said Jahmyr Gibbs. right? I mean, just think about how dynamic he is. If we're talking about only recruiting one of these guys, I think you have to look at it from that perspective. But that would probably be my choice. I would probably go with JJ there. But, I mean, this is a hard one because you're only picking one. These other games we played, you're picking three or picking four. This is only picking one, so it's tough. Let me check these comments and see what you guys went with. Let's see. That dude is going with Gibbs. It looks like Kenji might have gone with Gibbs. Mark Ingram from 833. Let's see who else. Oh, Alvin Kamara. I forgot. Technically, he counts. I guess we got to somewhat include Alvin Kamara here. Granted, he was only here for a short period of time, but that's definitely a good one. I see we got another Mark Ingram. So I feel like everybody's kind of around the same range, maybe. Yukenji went with Derrick Henry. Glenn Coffey from my guy Leonardo. And listen, Glenn Coffey, I brought him up a couple weeks ago just by, you know, when he was working here and he was on staff. Great dude, man. I don't remember watching. He was a little bit before my time, so I don't really remember watching him like that. But I've heard nothing but great things about Glenn. As a player, I already know who he is as a person. Great, great guy. Let's see who else we got. It looks like there's a lot of Mark Ingrams, man. So, Chase, I think you got a pretty good answer, man. A lot of people are feeling the Mark Ingram, which again, I think if you're picking one, you're looking for an all-around option. As great as Derek was, I feel like Derek is a guy where it's always best if you have like a feature back that offers a little bit more in terms of, you know, pass catching ability, a little bit more shiftiness maybe that you can really have as a counter. That's just my opinion. I mean, I think you'd be fine if you just had him, but I think that'd be the best way to do it. We got to hit a timeout. We come back. We'll get a few more of your answers. We'll keep on rolling. A couple more updates in this whole Sorsby situation we'll talk about and discuss. We're open on the phone lines. I think we got Ragged lined up. We'll go to him as well. 205-342-9904. If you guys want to get in the conversation, hit us up. We'd love to hear from you right here on the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230.
Bluetooth kits and so much more. If your golf cart needs repairs, the pros at Dixie Custom Carts can handle the job. Dixie Custom Carts, Greensboro Avenue in Tuscaloosa.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past that has not been the case. In this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more,
I'm 2 lines of Essentials Choice 55, $35 connection charge per line required. Best mobile network and fastest 5G home internet based on analysis by Ookla of speed test intelligence data 2H 2025. All rights reserved.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past that has not been the case. In this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise With Us on our website.
From kickoff to the final whistle,
we've got you covered.
Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC.
to the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC. Good conversation we're having, Chase. I think this is a very fair conversation. Chelsea had a good question, and it was, how could you not give the job to somebody like Derrick Henry, who's the most decorated of all of these gentlemen right here on this list? And basically what I was describing was, if we were just saying who's the best player, I mean, I think it's probably a pretty easy choice. Wouldn't you agree, Chase? I mean, I think it's fair to say, like, he's the most decorated, the most dominant. And if we're talking about just toting the rock, that's a no-brainer. But this is saying you can only recruit one. So that means you're going to have this player on your team. You're looking to build around this player. You're trying to see how he fits in your scheme. And all I'm saying is, knowing how offenses have evolved, knowing where the game is going, and knowing what I know from a defensive guy, right? I just know when you have a running back that has more layers to their game, it makes it that much more difficult for a defense. Let me give you an example. In Carolina, I played with a guy by the name of Christian McCaffrey. Christian McCaffrey is a much different running back than Derrick Henry. Christian McCaffrey has not rushed for as many yards as Derrick Henry. But you know what he does do? He's one of the most productive players in offensive history, pretty much, in terms of, I think he, because when I was there in 19, he was trying to go for like 1,000 yards on the ground and 1,000 yards receiving as well. So well, my point is, I play with a guy like that who, I'm telling you, Chase, he could tote the rock. Christian was a physical guy. If anything, I mean, Carolina probably about ran his career into the ground. It's probably why he's finally dealing with some injuries or catching up to him, because, I mean, bro, our whole offense was get Christian McCaffrey the football. And in practice, we used to do backs on backer drills all the time, one-on-ones, linebackers having to cover running backs. I don't think that we had Shaq Thompson, 10-year NFL vet, hell of a linebacker. Luke Kuechly, right? I mean, I played with some damn good dudes on defense. Guess who he was, you know, frequently making look silly? Those all pro bowl type players, bro. Like no linebacker could cover a guy like Christian McCaffrey. It was damn near impossible, man. Like, he just made everybody look silly. And with that versatility, man, it adds up. It's no different than, like, if you had to tell me, hey, pick a quarterback. And if someone was picking guys like Jalen Milroe, but you have a guy who's like Bryce Young on the list, but then you see like Cam Newton or Jalen Milroe, and you're like, why would you pick them? You know, there's just a different layer to their game that it makes it tough to defend. And if you're considering those things, I think it makes sense. So to answer anybody's question that might feel like, well, why would you not pick Derek? That's the only reason why. If we're talking about a ground-and-pound offense, Chase, and we're just saying, hey, we're going to feed the rock to Derrick, we're going to set up play action off of that, you know, we don't really need him catching the ball much out of the backfield, that's fine. But just turn on the Lions tape and watch Jahmyr Gibbs and just see all the ways that you can use a guy like that. JJ's not exactly that, but he still has some of that to his game. That's why I was saying, to me, JJ is kind of, I like JJ, or even like you said, Mark Ingram, because they're kind of like a blend, right? They got the physicality to them. They got some elusiveness, but they also can catch the football in the backfield. Maybe not quite like Jahmyr Gibbs, but Jahmyr Gibbs is going to lack that physicality. So I kind of was like, hey, who's like the all-around guy I could pick? That's where I was coming from, personally. So that's all that was. But again, this is all subjective, by the way. There's no right or wrong answer. I want to be clear, but I just wanted to make that clear. Somebody said love Derek in his pass protection. Oh, love Derek, pass protection needs work. That's a good point. You know, believe it or not, as big as Derek is, Derek wasn't always the best in pass pro. I don't know if you guys remember that, but he and even to this day, he's gotten a lot better, but sometimes, you know what I mean, he's not the best in pass pro. So, I mean, I think if you really break down all these little factors, I think you really could probably come up with a reason for a lot. I mean, hell, even – like Sean Alexander, I feel like he's being slept on a little bit. Granted, he was a little bit before a lot of these other guys, but, you know, I mean, you're talking about, wasn't he like the leading rusher of all time or something like that? Like, I don't remember exactly, but I know he's a dude. I know he has a big old family, man. He's got a whole bunch of kids, by the way. Great guy, man. He's always like on the sidelines for at least a game, like every year. Really, really cool dude. 205-342-9904. We got Ragged Glory on the phone lines. Ragged, welcome in.
Hey, good afternoon, Christian. And been a long time, been a minute since I talked to you.
Yes, sir. How's it going?
Man, it's a beautiful day. And I'm on cloud nine. So for many reasons. You know what? And you know what? I love the fact that, you know what, we're always going to love Derrick Henry, and I'm still pulling for him, you know, to get to the Super Bowl and win it. But my favorite all-time running back slash utility, I mean, it could be anything. Under the Saban era here, ever since I came here in 2007, I'm going to have to go with Kenyon Drake, man. He fleet-footed, twinkle toes, able to run, able to move and catch a football. And yeah. I can still in my mind see that terrible play against Arkansas. You know, broke his leg. I mean, my soul sank because, oh Lord, I mean, he was just like my all-time guy. I mean, way back Pop Warner, high school football. I mean, what I would have given to anybody like him to be right behind me.
Yeah, listen, I like Kenyon Drake a lot, man. Matter of fact, he's one of my good friends, like off the field here, but he is a special player too. You talk about shiftiness and just making guys miss. Like, he's one of those guys, man. He was special. Yeah, and I think injuries, unfortunately, probably, you know, limited some of the production that he could have had. Not only that, but also, you know, splitting a lot of carries with a number of guys. I mean, I'm sure if you put him on a team where he was the guy, he probably would have been Jahmyr Gibbs-esque in terms of just his ability. I mean, he had that type of skill set.
I'm loving Jahmyr. Yep. Yeah, you know, go take the Lions further. And Christian McCaffrey that you got to play with. Oh, my goodness gracious. You know, long may he run, you know. Hey, my 49ers, you know, I live and die by them. But, yeah, but Gibbs, but, gosh, I wished I could have seen the glory abound in Kenyon Drake. I sorry, you know. As an old quarterback that never was, that was my man. I'd give him the ball, throw it to him, whatever I could do.
Oh, yeah. No, I like that. Listen, I like the pick, man. Drake is – he's a dude. Plus, he had return ability, man. He was the one that had that huge kick return in a national championship game out in Arizona. He could pretty much do it all, man. You could, you know, send him out and run some routes. I mean, I remember he had that big – I think he was on a wheel route. We played Florida at home in 2014, I believe it was. And, he's just dynamic. Like, I think he was kind of, again, on along the lines of some of those running backs that you're starting to see a little bit more of. So I like the pick. I mean, I think if he was on a team where, you know, he went in a running back room filled with a bunch of other guys and sharing a bunch of carries, I could only imagine how he would have been utilized. And I think injuries kind of slowed him down a little bit. But, man, he's a special player.
There it is there. Hey, could you, being that you're in with him, would you just tell him that Ragged Glory picked you as my all-time favorite? Would you do that for me, man?
You know what? I'll do it right now. I'm going to shoot him a text right now. Matter of fact, maybe we'll just get him on the show sometime soon. He's come on here before, but I'm going to text him right now, Ragged. We'll try to get him on the show maybe next week, too.
Thank you so much. I love you, Christian. Love your show. And I got to run. I got some 38 special tickets to pick up.
there you go, man. Good luck with that, Ragged. We appreciate it, man.
Love you guys. Have a good
day. Yes, sir. All love. Thank you so much, man. Good deal, man. Ragged's in a great mood today, Chase. 38 special. You scared me for a second. Before he said tickets, I was like, hold on. What are you doing with 38 special, buddy? All right. And then he said tickets. So I said, all right, that's fine. All right, we got to hit the timeout. We come back. We keep on rolling right here on the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. We got plenty of time, man. We're just having some fun. 205-342-9904 is the number. We got I see Shobes on here. Shobes, you want to call in, man? We're chilling. I see Leonardo also just threw something else at us. Most dominant player. It's one of those days, right? It's wild card Wednesday. We're just having fun. Might as well just keep playing some of these games. Most dominant player in Alabama history. Maybe we can pick that or pick that one next, right here on the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230, WTVC.
Services for our complete range of duct services, 205-339-6540 or at adamsfcs.com. Adams Services.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I wanted to tell you about our friends over at Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy, founded by attorney and professor Adam Lamparello, helping students at every level with mentoring, exam prep, applications, and career planning. Adam also represents students, faculty, and athletes in academic misconduct, First Amendment, NIL, and criminal defense cases, known for real care and relentless advocacy.
The $10 bucket of the day deal, every weekday, only at KFC. It's finger licking good.
Prices and participation vary while supplies last. Not available on third-party ordering platforms. Tax extra.
Coming up on The Game with Ryan Fowler.
Coming up on the Wednesday edition of The Game, we're going to talk to Aaron Torres, Fox Sports national analyst. We'll talk to Lindy Davis, LindySports.com, as we project college football season one day closer. We'll continue our SEC Alabama baseball legends with another great legend, two of them to be exact, starting on the Wednesday edition of The Game, starting at 2 p.m. on Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, your home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
Longest running sports talk show in Tuscaloosa. The Game with Ryan Fowler. Weekdays from 2 to
possible. Ask your doctor about Tremfya today. Call 1-800-526-7736 to learn more or visit TremfyaRadio.com.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past that has not been the case. In this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise With Us on our website.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Here's your Tuscaloosa and West Alabama forecast. Sunshine here this afternoon. High temperatures at 92, 74 tonight. Clear skies tomorrow. High tomorrow 93. 93 on Friday. Sunshine, a pop-up shower or storm expected during the day. It will keep temperatures in the low 90s for the weekend. Scattered showers and storms in the forecast. Richard DeWedding at the Weather Channel for Town Square Media Tuscaloosa.
It's 91 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
From yesterday's legends to tomorrow's stars. Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC.
No one better.
The home of Alabama Crimson Tide sports.
Welcome back into this Wednesday edition of the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. All right, Chase, we're going to switch it up a little bit. We went with the picking the running back. I don't want to say picking the best running back. That's not what it was. It was picking the running back of your choice if you could only recruit one of those guys. Leonardo brought up a good point. Most dominant player in Alabama history. Not just Saban history, but Alabama history. This one's tough for me, Chase. Again, all these are subjective, but off the top of my head, Will Anderson, Derrick Henry, Derrick Thomas, Rolando McClain. I saw somebody throw Jonathan Allen in there, man. I mean, like, Big John was a beast. But I mean, there's so many names. Chase, I don't even know how we narrow this down. Is there a few that you could think of that come to your mind in terms of the most dominant? I mean, as an edge guy, I mean, like, I think Will was definitely dominant, but if I had to pick between him and Derrick Thomas, brother, I didn't watch Derrick Thomas do it. I mean, clearly I was, when was that? I mean, I either was not hardly born or was an infant, but anybody that has 27 sacks or whatever it was in one season, especially when they're not throwing the football like they do now, that is insane. That's not even like Will had like 17 and a half and everybody's freaking out and they should be because he was a young player. It's so disruptive. It was a big deal. Now imagine having 27 and they're hardly throwing the football. That's the type of disruption and dominance we're talking about with Derrick Thomas, Reuben Foster. Right. I mean, there's Marcell Dareus. I see them rolling now. There's a bunch. Right. Anybody that you can think of, Chase, that you would say, hey, I feel like this guy was the most dominant player? Doesn't necessarily have to be production, but that is probably a big piece of it. Like, I would say production is a big thing, but also just their ability to probably take over, their ability to just make things maybe look effortlessly. Julio Jones, right? I forgot to throw him out there. Who was that for you, Chase?
That's hard. It's really hard, Christian, because I want to go with Derrick Thomas because I just feel like his numbers speak for himself and how dominant he was back then. I watched some of his highlights because we've had this conversation before, and you know, even seeing in the chat right now, it's just dominant. But I think I'm an offensive guy. I love that about football and what this person did a couple of years ago. I don't think people realize how hard it is. Devontae Smith, I think at his size, ooh, I think what he did, how fast he was, being able for how how skinny he was to be able to make defenders look silly to the point where he was getting double teamed. I don't think people realize for his size to put the numbers he did in the COVID year, like that is so hard to replicate. Now, obviously, it's subjective. Nobody get mad at me, but I just feel like what he did in the SEC where it was so high potent and it just seemed like every wide receiver was getting a certain amount of yards, he was just doubling it. It just seemed like whatever a defensive coordinator would put on the football field, he would find a way to get a touchdown and get a certain amount of yardage by a certain amount of quarter, and no one could stop him. And he hasn't slowed down with the Eagles. He's continuing to produce, continuing to just be a difference maker, an X factor that I feel like he's just up there with like Julio Jones and Amari Cooper and so many other great wide receivers here at UA. So I'd have to go with my guy, Devontae Smith.
You know what? That's actually, I didn't think of Smitty on that one, but to be fair, all things considered, I mean, production, he clearly checks that box. I mean, in terms of all the accolades that he wrapped up. Then I like that you brought that out. I mean, we're talking about a guy, I don't remember what he was rated coming out of high school, but he won like a top receiver. Probably was a lower four star, if I'm not mistaken. Again, that don't really matter. But the point being, he was a narrow, skinny kid. Like, I remember when he got here, I remember looking at him, I'm like, I mean, this guy looks like a pencil. Like, I'm like, man, like, no disrespect to him, because I came in small and skinny. So I got it. I felt him. But it was different. I'm like, man, I don't know if he's going to hold up here, man. Like, I'm like, shoot, you know what I'm saying? This is different. But, man, when you talk about just being smooth and just seeing him get better and better each year. I mean, remember, he had the big catch. You know, that was my redshirt junior year. That was second and 26. He was a true freshman that year. You know, we knew he was a good player, right? There was a reason as a true freshman, right? He was getting some opportunities. But then to see him that COVID year, his final year here. Like you said it, Chase. I mean, he literally, there was every catch. I mean, he didn't drop hardly anything. I mean, all the catches he was made. I mean, double coverage, clutch. I mean, he was putting up like video game numbers every game. Him and Mac Jones, man. That connection they had that COVID year was special. It was definitely special. So I respect that answer. I respect that answer. Now he don't look it physically, right? He don't look the most dominant when you see him because he's not a big guy. Granted, he's put some weight on, still not very big. But man, you talk about what he did on the field, that was nothing short of dominant. So Chase, that's a good answer, man. We got to hit this top of the hour break. When we come back, we keep on rolling on this Wednesday edition right here on the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Quick timeout. Don't go anywhere. Hour number two, come right up.
WTBC Tuscaloosa and W265 CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles, here's Steve DeSager.
The Carolina Hurricanes tied up the Stanley Cup final 2 games apiece with a win at Vegas 5-3. Jordan Stahl with 2 goals. Game 5 is Thursday at Carolina. NBA Finals Game 4 is Wednesday night. In the WNBA, victories for Golden State and Atlanta and for Minnesota, which has won 8 straight. Cleveland Browns Pro Bowl guard Joel Bitonio retired after 12 seasons. Serena Williams won her first round doubles match in London after 4 years off. U.S. Women's Soccer took its exhibition 1-0 in Brazil on an own goal. To Major League Baseball, the A's were in Vegas again and defeated Milwaukee 7-5, hitting 5 home runs in the first 6 innings. The previous night, Milwaukee won the game 15-14 in 12 innings. Colorado and Kansas City with home wins. The White Sox as well in 10 innings, edging Atlanta 6-5 on a 2-run homer by Braden Montgomery in his Major League debut.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I wanted to tell you about our friends over at Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy. Founded by attorney and professor Adam Lamparello, helping students at every level with mentoring, exam prep, applications, and career planning. Adam also represents students, faculty, and athletes in academic misconduct, First Amendment, NIL, and criminal defense cases. Known for real care and relentless advocacy. For guidance you can trust, call 201-317-5115 or visit lamparello-law.com. That's Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy. Proud
former home base in Birmingham, Alabama.
We are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing
victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel, a specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rentals. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Harding Construction today at 205-752-9611. Again, that's Brian Harding Construction at 205-752-9611.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past that has not been the case, and this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise With Us on our website.
And knocked down again. It was Christian Miller.
It's time
time for the Miller's Edge with four-time SEC champion and two-time national champion Christian Miller.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
Here's college football playoff national champion
Christian Miller
on Tide 100.9
and 1230 AM WTBC.
Into this Wednesday edition of Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC. We're just hanging out and having some fun, man. It's one of those days. Wild card Wednesday, Chase. We're just kick back, relax. Might dive a little bit more into the Sorsby stuff or maybe some recruiting in a minute, but I've been talking about all these players taking a trip down memory lane, kind of ranking and comparing guys. Always a good conversation, but QD has a great point, Chase. I mean, there's just so many guys. It's really hard to really keep up with all this. Then it makes you wonder if this was during the era of NIL. How much would a team like that cost, man? I think it was predicted at like $50 to $70 million. Do you think that's accurate? Where would you guesstimate the cost of a Nick Saban dynasty era football team? What would you guesstimate it being at?
So I to get more information, what is the estimate of it of our roster now?
Great point. I was about to give you that, too. I remember that Coach Saban, speaking of him, he just testified and pretty much spilled the beans on Alabama's current roster, I guess, valuation. And it was like $24 million, I believe he mentioned, when he was speaking to Congress about the whole bill. So, to be honest with you, $24 million is, I don't know, do we consider that like average at this point? I mean, it's above average. All right, let me backtrack. For like a top program, I feel like that's kind of on the, I wouldn't say budget side, but it's not as bad as a lot of these other schools. I mean, allegedly LSU was pushing $40 million this upcoming season. If Alabama was $24 million last season, I wouldn't be shocked if it's probably upwards of 30 maybe this upcoming year. Maybe not, I don't know. But so let's just say around $25 million right now, Chase. And that is with top five recruiting classes over the last two seasons. So I'll be honest with you. I don't think it would have been around 50. Probably would have been closer to 50. I don't think it would have been 70. But here's why I do say this. He probably would have been able to get the Saban discount, which is kind of ironic that we used to talk about that being a thing. Now everybody makes it seem like, oh, well, he just was paying guys. But then it was before, oh, well, he didn't have to pay guys as much because people wanted to play for him. But I guess it's just whatever fits their narrative. With that being said, I mean, 50 to 70. Cutie says a top 15 roster at $24 million. So it's definitely not cheap. But I guess the point I'm making is, and I know Alabama's not really in elite status right now. People might not want to hear that. They might not agree with that. That could be another conversation we could have. Actually, we'll do that in a second. But I like to view them as a program that, think about it, like they want to contend each and every year, right? So I just put them in the Oregon, the Georgia, the Ohio State category from a brand perspective, because that is the goal. Now, have we lived up to that over the last several seasons? I don't think so. Not consistently enough. But I would assume we're going to operate as such because that is the standard. So that being said, I feel like $24 million compared to those teams that we're mentioning, I feel like it's probably middle of the pack. Because I would assume that Ohio State, Oregon, hell, Texas, Texas Tech, those teams are going to be probably the top. LSU. And then Alabama's probably going to come in probably middle of the pack in terms of like top 15, top 20 teams. Does that make sense? That being said, the original question was, how much do we think a Saban roster would be? I know people were saying like probably $70 million. I don't think it would have been that high. I think it probably would have been in that 40 range. But that's probably because there would have been some of the Saban discount, and also just knowing how he operates, I don't think he would have been I don't think he would have paid these kids like that. To be honest with you, I don't think he would have done it. I think he would have done it for select players, Minkah Fitzpatrick, You know, we always joke around and say Minka's like his son. You know, damn good football player. I mean, that he, a Tua, you know, Tua Tagovailoa, he loved Tua. Not saying he loved everybody, but you get the point. Like, those, like, his guys, right? And they're really good players, highly ranked players. I think he would have been willing to pay, like, top dollar. But I think other guys, I think he would have, to be honest with you, I wouldn't be shocked if he kind of was like, hey, man, we like you as a player, but we don't like you enough to just pay all that money. But what we can do is we will help you get, you know, true third-party endorsements in our brand itself. Because that really was his recruiting pitch. Remember, it's not like we have to go off like a, well, what if? He was a member. He was a coach during NIL. And I remember, like, that was the whole, the Saban discount. Like, I'm not going to say too much detail, but I know what a lot of guys were making. If people knew what Bryce Young was making that first year of NIL, it would sound like a joke right now. Nobody would believe it. But people wanted to play for him. So I guess the point I'm making, Chase, is I believe it or not, I don't think our roster would have been as expensive as people probably think, because I think people would have accepted a little bit of a discount like they were doing. Like, people were legit doing that before he retired to play for him. But then when he started getting older, it was a little bit harder. Why? Because, like he said, people were using it against him. Other coaches were saying, what? How long is he going to be there? He's getting up there in age. There's no guarantees that he's still going to be there. If you took a little bit younger version of Coach Saban, I think he would have recruited fine and not had to pay as much money. That's just my thought on that. Other point that we just came up, I mentioned Alabama's status as quote unquote maybe not so much being elite anymore. Chase, I'm gonna put you on the spot, man. Would you consider Alabama an elite football program currently? Currently. So I'm not talking about the dynasty years. I'm not talking about the championship. I'm saying right now where Alabama sits. And I think if you're talking about currently, I think that maybe counts like the last couple years combined with where they sit right now as they head into the 2026 season. I mean, I guess technically you could maybe just take last year and then this upcoming year. But I feel like I think like maybe 3 years is fair. Would you say it's fair? If we're saying like where they sit currently, I think you got to go back a couple years and look at the forecast moving forward. So that's how I'm judging this. And that's what the basis of which I'm asking this question. Would you consider Alabama elite in football?
That's a good question. Very good question, Christian.
Chase is like, man, I don't want to do this, man. You want me to go first?
It's okay. I'll give my answer. I don't think they're elite right now, and I say that because you just said it. The Bama standard, that's elite. I don't care what other team whatever team Alabama's compared to. I don't care what anybody else, what other team is going on. Alabama, like, the name alone shakes rooms. I don't think they're shaking rooms right now. Obviously, you know, this season's going to be, I think it'll be special. The next year is going to be really, like, we got some things cooking, but the past three seasons, with the talent we've had, the transition in coaching, just so much turmoil with NIL and so much going on, I just feel like how we've handled it, I wouldn't say we're elite. We're not there yet, but we're going towards that path where, like, we'll be there once again. Not, like, dominating and winning championships every year, but in terms of what I was taught, how Bama rolls and we've talked and just the standard that Bama is, I wouldn't constitute that as elite. Nowhere near, because of what Alabama is. You said it. We expect to win every year. Like, no matter the state of college football, you find a way to win. And I feel like Alabama at one point in time was the mirror and all of that. A lot of teams mirrored what they did, their philosophies, their standards, ADs, the way they went about money, just like that everything. Was the way. Literally, like, it was everything. Like, everything. And this is like someone who doesn't like, not a fan, like someone who's seen from an outside view. I just feel like they're not elite. Now, everybody, this is a wild card Wednesday. It's the summer. I don't want y'all to like lose it.
No. I was going to tell you, I thought that was a very well put together answer, to be honest with you. No, that was a very put together answer. I guess the follow up would be, who do we feel like is elite at this moment in time in college football? Because I think that also is a fair question to ask, because if we're going to ask if Alabama's elite, I guess we got to probably find the company that they would be in, or the company that they currently are. And if they aren't elite, where would we rank them? I mean, I think those are all good questions to ask. And it's, I guess, an appropriate time. Everybody's coming out with their SEC power rankings. They're coming out with their preseason top 25 rankings. And currently, where Alabama is falling in these preseason rankings, which are subjective, these are just writers, reporters, services, whoever's coming up with the list. It's just their opinions. That being said, where Alabama's coming in at, would not really consider them elite. So I think a lot of people are kind of along that line. But let's talk about that. First, we got to take a timeout. When we come back, we'll discuss that. We'll ask you guys, get y'all's thoughts on that. 205-342-9904. Do you guys feel like Alabama currently, where they're at as a football program, do you feel like they still are elite? If not, what category would you rank them in? We'll talk about that when we come back right here on the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC.
Or visit meswins.com. I've got this.
No representations made that the quality of legal services to be performed is greater than the quality of legal services performed by other lawyers.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-914.
Critical legislation now. Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP. This message is furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing
victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past, that has not been the case. In this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise With Us on our website.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Here's your Tuscaloosa and West Alabama forecast. Sunshine here this afternoon. High temperatures at 92, 74 tonight. Clear skies tomorrow. High tomorrow at 93. 93 on Friday. Sunshine, a pop-up shower or storm expected during the day. It will keep temperatures in the low 90s for the weekend. Scattered showers and storms in the forecast. Richard DeWetting at the Weather Channel for Town Square Media Tuscaloosa.
It's 92 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Stay locked in, Tide fans.
This is Tide 100.9
and 1230 AM WTBC,
the home of Alabama Crimson Tide sports.
Of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC. All right, we've got an interesting conversation going on right now. We've been talking about a number of different Alabama players. Now we're asking the big question. Is Alabama currently elite in regards to football, the football program, right? If you're talking about across the board, Chase, I think we mentioned it. We're in all sports, or I guess what, all sports school, whatever the term would be called. I mean, we're talking about softball World Series appearance, men's college baseball World Series, NCAA tournament, football made a college football playoff. I mean, yeah, everybody's kind of been doing their thing. I feel like gymnastics did some good stuff this season too. I don't really know. But anyway, we're focusing on football though. And that's the question that we're asking. Is Alabama currently elite? Chase gave his answer. I guess it's time for me to give mine. My answer would be, drum roll, No, I don't think Alabama is currently elite. Just being honest with you. But the follow-up is, who would we consider elite across the board in college football? I don't know if there's a whole bunch of teams that I would really feel comfortable saying are elite. But right now, we're focusing on Alabama. I can't say that we're an elite football program. I think we're a good football program. I think we've done some really good things, right? I think going into year two with Coach DeBoer, I think, you know, just seeing the progress that they made, yes, some of those losses, those disappointing losses are concerning. Those aren't signs of an elite program when you have those losses, right, especially, you know, back-to-back years. However, I do want to point out the positive stuff, right? So, they, you know, making it to the you know, SEC championship game, making the playoffs, those are great. But to me, you know, I think we throw around some of these terms a little too loosely nowadays, right? Like, what we were doing over the last two decades, that's elite, right? You're talking about, like, throughout 5 years of me being here in Tuscaloosa, we lost, what, six total games. Six total losses in 5 years. And really, the very last one in the national championship game, that was the worst one. The other ones were, I don't think, you know, really, like, bad losses. You get what I'm saying? Like, you know, lopsided type losses. So that is elite. But here's the deal, Chase. I just don't think you're going to really see that. So off of today's standards, I would say we're a very solid program, but we're shy of elite. I think we definitely could potentially work towards that status. I just don't think it's going to be easy given today's landscape. Because like we just said initially, like I don't know. Like looking at this list right here, Chase, who on here could we, really just any team, I just pulled this up just as a refresher, right? This is the top 25 from last season. I'm just showing the top 15 for now. I mean, how many teams would we really classify as elite currently going into the 2026 season? You got Indiana, right? They're going to be the defending national champions. Lost a couple guys, lost a couple key players, right? Heisman Trophy winner at quarterback, several other players offensively, a couple of their guys on defense. They reloaded via the transfer portal. It's kind of a big question mark, though, but I don't know if we can say they're an elite program. I don't think they even had an elite roster last year, if I'm being honest with you. I think some of the coaching abilities that we saw from their staff were, I mean, I would classify the coaching as elite. I mean, I thought they put on a coaching clinic, and then that's why the defensive coordinator, you know, took offense to Ty Simpson's comments, which I understand to an extent, you know, why he took it a little personal. I don't agree with the response, but I could understand why he took it personal. Just watching them, I thought coaching-wise, I mean, it was a masterclass, a lot of it at least. But I don't even know if we're only going off last season, I mean, I still don't even think I would call Indiana really elite. They went 16-0, and it was very impressive, you know, one of the best seasons we've seen. But if you really look at, like, their path to get there, and this is not me, like trying to degrade them or take away from what they did. I want to be clear. But I just think that's a fair point to put there, Chase. Like, they didn't have the toughest path to get there. They weren't really beating teams in, like, dominant fashions either. So with that being said, as great as the season was last year, I don't consider Indiana elite. I don't. Miami, they consistently have a loss or two, I feel like, every year that they shouldn't have. They've got some great aspects to their football teams. They recruit really well. They're very physical. They know how to get the right players via the transfer portal, right, to bring in and fill in those holes and end up being good players, whether it's Mesidor, whether, you know, Carson Beck ended up leading them to national championship game. Like, they get good players and they do a really good job, but I wouldn't consider Miami elite. Ole Miss, I don't consider elite. Really good program, right? Lane Kiffin had them back-to-back-to-back, 10-win seasons or whatever it was. Like, they've been doing some really good stuff, but couldn't quite just get over that hump. So that's that. To me, I don't think they're elite. Oregon, regular season-wise, Chase, I feel like they've hardly lost any regular season games the last few seasons. They've looked elite at times, but then they had their moments, right? And they haven't necessarily – I feel like they're still just short of it. Just short of it. And then Georgia's, I feel like, taking a little bit of a step back. They haven't won a playoff game in a number of years or whatever the stat was. Still a really good program, very respectable. Hell, I mean, I love what Kirby's doing over there. But do we still view them as elite? Maybe a couple years ago, yes. Currently, right now, I can't say I would call Georgia elite right now. Ohio State, that one's probably close, Chase. If I'm being honest with you, I think they're the one program I look at that I feel like I'm close to being able to say that they're elite. Granted, just a couple years ago, I mean, they were ready to run Ryan Day out of town because he lost their rival. He couldn't figure out Michigan. Then all of a sudden, he led them to a national championship game. But in terms of their ability to recruit, their ability to hit the transfer portal, the success that they've had, I would say so far out of all the teams that we've named, Ohio State feels the closest to an elite football program currently. Would you agree with that? Or would you give any pushback, any of those other teams that I might have mentioned, Chase?
I just, in terms of consistency, I think production, culture, being able to withstand the storms of just college football and be able to stay on top and not drown like a lot of these other teams have. Like you said, they've fallen back. And like you said, Indiana, a lot of these newcomers, I would disqualify them because it is their first time getting into the big scene. Like they're new to this. I feel like Ohio State, I agree with you, is definitely, if you want to compare it to what elite was back then to trying to get it to where that team is now, Ohio State, out of all of those 15 teams, yeah, the Buckeyes, I would say. And it's funny, too, that you say that they wanted Ryan Day out. There wasn't a day back then that they wanted him out. Like, they wanted him gone. He can't beat Michigan. Now it's the best thing since sliced bread for Buckeye Nation. I just thought that was funny. But, yeah, I have to go with Ohio State on this one.
Yeah, and I that's where I'm at. I mean, Texas Tech, hell, you see what money can do for you, right? Texas Tech went from pretty much irrelevant outside of what Pat Mahomes to now. I mean, they're pretty much in that playoff picture year in, year out. Granted, the conference that they're in, again, path is pretty easy, but they're consistently recruiting some really, you know, good players, top talent. So I think for me, even though we're seeing a lot of improvement there, I can't say they're elite. I don't think anybody would say they're elite just yet, especially given whatever just happened with Sorsby, man. People are definitely going to be giving them a little bit of a hard time. Sorry, I was trying to fix our screen for a second to get us. There we go. It looks a little bit better. All right, a couple more teams, and we'll get to you guys. Texas A&M, not elite. Good program, but not elite. Alabama, we just said that, not elite. Oklahoma, not elite. Notre Dame, not elite. Really good program. They're not in the conference. Not elite. BYU, no. Texas, no. They got elite rosters, but they're not elite. Utah, Vanderbilt, we're done there. So really, I mean, through 15 teams, man, I would say, like, I would agree with you, right? Ohio State kind of has the most elite feel. But even if we're being honest here, I mean, they're not really, like, really ahead of a whole bunch of people. That being said, the follow-up I have real quick for you, this break, Chase, is what tier will we put Alabama in? I mean, if we had to say, all right, maybe there's not like a true elite team, but if we're saying, all right, we got a few teams, we'll say S tier, A tier, and B tier, right? If I'm being honest, I would put Alabama probably in the A tier right now. If I had to say an S tier, I would probably go with, I don't know. Maybe let's think about this and answer on the other side. But if we had to categorize, right, like a group of three or four teams at, you know, the very top, then the next tier, where would Alabama fall? Just kind of off the top of my head, I'm probably thinking in the middle of the pack, because that's kind of how I view us right now. If I'm just being completely honest with you, I view us right now as kind of like several years ago, like Georgia. Say go back to like from like 20 whatever years, like 2020, 21, whatever. Alabama was, you know, national champions in 2020, played Georgia in 21. Like, Alabama and Georgia were like those elite teams, right? Then you kind of had the next group in the SEC. You get what I'm saying? I feel like Alabama currently is those teams that were like in that next group. Like, when we used to be playing teams like, I don't know, I mean, maybe like a LSU, where you knew they're a good program. They have the potential, but they're behind a step or so. I feel like that's currently, like, that's kind of how I view us right now. I view us as like LSU from several years ago, where You know, they're predicted to win like 9 games. They definitely have the potential to win more. You don't know how confident you feel in that, but that's kind of where they're at. They're going to have, you know, good players, but not necessarily like the most elite guys. And that's kind of where I feel like we're at, even though I feel like our roster is one of the better rosters, but I think we still just have to see more guys reach that potential, in my opinion. That's just kind of where I'm at with it. 205-342-9904 is the number. When we come back, we'll go to the phone lines. We got Shob. Who else we got? We got Cedric. We'll get to you guys. Get y'all's thoughts on this Alabama lead. Where would you rank them, right? Because a lot of people are coming out with their rankings. We're kind of doing our little own version of it right here on the Miller's Edge. Tide.
Tuscaloosa's destination for iconic Jeeps. Drive a new 2026 Ram 1500 Bighorn Crew Cab 4x4 priced at $54,529.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing
victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I wanted to tell you about our friends over at Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy, founded by attorney and professor Adam Lamparello, helping students at every level with mentoring, exam prep, applications, and career planning. Adam also represents students, faculty, and athletes in academic misconduct, First Amendment, NIL, and criminal defense cases, known for real care and relentless advocacy. For guidance you can trust, call 201-317-5115 or visit lamparello-law.com. That's Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy.
Proud. What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past that has not been the case. In this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For about Tremfya today, call 1-800-526-7736 to learn more or visit TremfyaRadio.com.
From Tuscaloosa to the world,
download the free Tide 100.9 app
for all the latest on Crimson Tide sports.
TBC. All right, let's go to the phone lines, 205-342-9904. We got my guy Show, but first, Show, welcome in.
What's up, bro?
What's up, dog? Wait, hold on. Before you even get started, man. Now, you know it's a sin to lie. You in the comments talking about you play running back. Show, did you actually play running back?
No, I was fullback, but still running back.
That's close. That counts.
What I'm saying is, what I was joking with, I was saying I was all of that. I was the MVP before NIL took out me. You know, I was the man. When y'all was hungry, you already know what time it was.
Oh, yeah, there's no disputing that. Nobody's disputing that.
Yeah, I was the MVP. Look, NIL took me out of business, took me out of everything.
No, you, no, listen. Hold on. Wait. You said NIL took you out of the cooking?
Yeah, because NIL got everybody got... Hey, everybody got the money now. Everybody.
Listen, it's about to be you and I both, man. Shoot, listen, if it keeps trending this way too, hell, it's hard for us to even get sponsorships for our show nowadays because of NIL. So, hell, we might not even be doing the show next year because of NIL. So, everybody blaming NIL.
They already cut out all the coaching. And what I mean by that is all the coaching in the summertime, that was 11 coaching gigs for $1,100 gone.
Wait, so they don't do that at the camps anymore?
No, they use the GAs and the people already on staff. Yeah, they use the GAs and stuff. They don't use coaching. And any coach doing it, they're doing it free. And, you know, I ain't getting out there for free. I'm sorry. Nah.
Wow.
But I did want to comment on a topic y'all was on, and I think people are missing it. I'm going to tell you who changed the game. It's not the NIL, but Indiana. Why they changed the game? Because they showed you don't have to go broke spending money. You just go get some hardworking blue collar kids that are just as good as the five stars, but haven't had the money to get exposed. You go find them, and they'll come win you a championship. That's what Indiana did last year. So all of that going said now is now. Look at Alabama. What they say? We can't negotiate a deal. We ain't studying you because. They've turned around. Yes, it might look like they're not recruiting the top dogs no more, but they're going to get those stars, two stars, one stars that are just as good as the five stars because the five stars now are more like divas. They're getting their money early and they don't care about coming working hard. Or they'll leave that school, jump to another school. And I think that's the part Saban's trying to attack. You know what I'm saying? That he's talking about is because the kid's not willing to learn or get coached hard. Because if you say something I don't like, I'm going to get up and take my balls and go home.
Right. So, that's a fair point. Only thing I would add to that is, so Indiana, in my opinion, had some elite-level coaching. I mean, I thought what they did as a coaching staff was, second to none. So I will say that, yes, I agree. You don't have to have the highest rate of recruiting classes to have success, but you damn sure better have a good coaching staff. You better have a great culture. You better have some physicality, and you better have the guys willing to do that for you and buy into what you're doing. I think that's exactly what made Indiana so good this past season, right? So I think if you have those things, you definitely can get away with not having the top guys. But I think it's nice to have a balance, too, because you still have to have the Jimmys and Joes. I mean, Indiana might not have had the flashiest players this past season, but they still went out and paid some guys. You know what I mean? Like, they got guys with starting ability. They might not have been big names, but they are guys that had a lot of snaps under their belt, and they bought into what they were doing, and they ultimately went out there and showed that, yeah, they were one of the best. Well, they were the best football team last season, being crowned national champions.
But, Christian, you check that quarterback. Okay, a year ago, wouldn't nobody would have touched him coming out of Cal because he had a horrible culture there. But my buddy was on the staff out there, you know, but he just didn't perform. So in the Indiana system, and it's about systems, but what they did was they took a lot of guys. It's like, basketball, you know, I'm just saying I'm a new head coach at basketball at North River Christian, right? Academy.
Right.
You
right.
give me four or five guys that have heart and may not be the talented, but if they got heart, we'll run through everybody. And that's what Indiana did. They went and got heart players. And people that felt like they had a chip on their shoulder, oh, y'all don't care about me. And that's what they went with all year and went and busted people. Busted us.
Right.
At the end of the day. And what it was, it wasn't that we were more talented on paper, but it's about want. And you know how it is. When you came into Alabama, it wasn't a bag thrown at you. $2 million and you had no reason to come work hard. No, you had to work hard to get your bag. And that's where we're missing from when you guys was in school. You guys, Reuben Foster, y'all came in. But you think about it, Reuben and all y'all came in. Everybody had millions of dollars. Bro, you be the same way. think about it now. They was our
yeah. It would. It
you see Reuben with $4 million?
it would be a lot different. You're not wrong there. Now, and I'm not trying to act like I'm better than folks, but I will say, I mean, I probably wouldn't change a whole bunch just because I don't like spending money. So that's one thing. But you're right. Our team on average probably would, Lord knows what would have been going on if everybody had that much money going around. But let me ask you this, though.
It'll look like Georgia. It'll look like Georgia and Florida.
Oh, yeah.
Georgia's getting all that trouble. And that's because now you're giving kids that went, and I'm not just making it an Alabama thing, but it's a culture all the way across the United States. You're taking kids that have been told they're the best since they were little kids. So the humbling part was, you know, when you came to camp and Saban got in your butt and made you feel he broke you down and brung you back up. Now you was a man. But see, now they're coming in. You can't even say, man, I don't like the way you cut. Oh, I'm taking my bag. I'm going to go to LSU next year. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's hard to coach. If I tell you come in, you've been told everybody, and then your coaches are still around. You got your mom and dad. Everybody thinks you're the best. And you sit behind somebody, man, go. And they're going to offer you $1 million to come across and go to Auburn. You're going to go. That's the system.
Right.
No one wants to sit and get told to be coached no more. So this is the crazy part. Coaches are getting more money, not the coach anymore. The boy's getting, what, 12.5? And he doesn't have to deal with them. Come on, man. I was watching camp. And the way he moves, I love how he moves. He's a player's coach. He's just a different style. But they'll run through a wall for that guy. You know what I'm saying? And on the Saban, hey, I love the way Saban. Me is old school. I like Saban because Saban's screaming, hollering, and then laughing at you at the same time, you know? But that was good coach. You can't do these kids. These kids ain't made out of anything. I don't care if they're bitching 340 pounds. These ain't number some big men bodies and little kid hearts. You break their heart, they're gone crying. And some of them don't rebuild. Some of them be gone out of football wrestling. And then there you go. Tragically, we have accidents. But at the big deal, you have to coach them different. You got to pad to their emotions. Shoot, even my kids now, I've been coaching them. Oh, really, you break them down. You scream how they look at you like, now they got to go to get therapy. And there you go. You out of a job because the AD called you in like, man, you can't be too tough on the kid. Like, you can't coach.
Well, let me ask you this, though. I mean, speaking of Indiana, though, I watched Kurt Cignetti, my best friend from high school that I played with. He's running back on their staff. Kurt Cignetti, I mean, he ain't trying to be soft with his guys like that. I think you can still coach hard. There's a number of coaches that still do it, show, but I think it's just about how you implement it in your culture. And, yes, there are going to be some guys you have to treat a little bit different, but I think it's about how you establish your culture. And if people understand kind of that's who you are and that's what you mean, and you have the results to back it up, that's what allows guys to do that, right? I mean, like, when people see go ahead.
And Christian, that's what I'm saying. Like, Cignetti, he set it up, but guess what? He also knows when he sit those guys in, remember, this is your second chance. Hey, I believe in you when nobody else believes in you, right? So you can talk like you pull me out, I ain't got no offense. You put me on the Indiana staff, and he's like, "Look, I see it in you. So I'm a coach you hard. I'm willing to sit there and take it because guess what? You gave me a chance, and it's almost about loyalty. You know what I'm saying? You gave me a chance, so now I'm gonna fire it up. And then I've seen where you won. Just like I look at the board, he's won wherever he goes. He's never had this much good talent. So, and I don't think he gets enough credit because I think I heard Chase say something about." Not elite team. Why we not elite team? Because what people say. But
I was going to ask you that. So you would consider us elite right now?
I mean, in potential, yes, we're elite team.
No. I'm not talking about on paper. On potential, but paper that means nothing.
On potential,
I'm saying.
I'm standing out there. Look. Out there. I'm gonna jump out there. Yes.
All right.
Yes, I believe we're elite because. I'm also looking at the coaches. What you said about culture. That O-line coach, we had a problem with the O-line last year. That's six. We brought in a coach that I've been watching him. I've talked to him. He's on a different mindset. You know what I'm saying? It's win. And it's not that laid back, we'll let it. He's got that, hey, that killer mentality. So, and I did see him bringing in little pieces. And I've been watching it. And I believe it's going to shock a lot of people this year. Because I believe that they are elite. But it's just right now, he's like, And then they slow back on, going after everybody they were going after, but they also going after those ones no one looking at either, the one Indiana packed up on. And I think if you got a smart staff, you'll be going on them too because Indiana wrote a blueprint last year. Just like I said, that quarterback a year ago, when nobody would put their hands on him. Who gave him a shot? They did in Indiana. They said, come on over, we'll check you out. And then at the end of the day, look around. Now his brother left the school because they're going another way. You know what I'm saying? But I still believe that that system, if you give me five guys, six guys that feel like they've been cheated out of life and this is a second chance, all them boys came with James Madison. A lot of them boys came with James Madison, brought the whole team over with him. So at the end of the day, what I'm saying is they're built in. They know they owe him. And that's what I think we got to get some players that we feel like they owe us for giving them a shot. And they're going to come kill it all at all costs.
That's what I mean. That's fair. I'm just saying, my whole thing is when you talk about elite, I think we just throw around that term a little loosely. Like, I made the point that out of the top 15 teams from last football season, there was only maybe 1/2 that I would consider even like putting in that realm. And that number one is Ohio State. They've won a national championship the last couple of years. They consistently are, you know, in the Big Ten championship game, which is a much better conference than it was. I know it's not as stacked like the SEC, but still, it's fair. Consistently in the playoffs, right? They recruit well, pump out NFL talent. Like, I think Ohio State, maybe Georgia is kind of close, just, you know, back-to-back SEC champions. But a big knock is they haven't had the most success in the postseason in recent years. So, I mean, outside of those teams, I don't think there's really hardly anybody that I would consider elite. I can't. When I look at us currently, I compare us a little bit more so to the likes of how LSU was several years ago, right? Where LSU would pump out 9 wins and they had good talent. They were a good football team, but they just weren't quite over the hump. I look at us like similar to that, or even like how Ole Miss has been recently. Ole Miss has won 10 games consistently, but they haven't, you know, won the big one, and they haven't, you know what I mean? Like, they haven't, they're still missing a little something. I feel like we're in that realm right now. That's just my personal opinion. I'm not saying we can't get there, but I think right now, if you look at our body of work over the last couple of seasons, including the bad losses that we've had, I can't say we're an elite football program currently. Especially going off the standards that I have, I couldn't do that. But I respect your answer, Shob. I love you, Shob. I respect your answer.
Hey, we good. But I also tell you, the boy has setting up he's got a lot more on his plate, but he's also making good young men. I'm going to tell you what they've been doing. I don't know if you know it or not. This past weekend, Church of the Highlands, you know, we first charity serve. We was at the detention center, and I didn't know the players were going to show up. They showed up, and come to figure out, they've been down there for the last 3 or 4 weeks, every position after service charity. You know what I'm saying? That's something that more or less, when Nick was around, we didn't do like that. We served, got in Nick's kids and all that, but actually coming in and being an impact on the community, I think that's giving the young men perspective of keeping them home. So it's a little different, man. I just think that with all that going on, it's just pretty cool. It's pretty cool. The guys are, and we got some good kids. We ain't never had bad kids. We didn't have bad kids last year. The problem was, I think we just had some really good kids that just didn't have that killer mentality. You know, we didn't have the Reuben Fosters.
Well, let me be clear. I'm glad you mentioned that, because I love highlighting all the positive stuff these guys do. And those guys, like, I've always thought we've had really good kids, man. Like, it's nothing on that level. I'm just talking about in terms of results on the football field. That's what I'm mentioning. But that being said, Shob, do you think we got some kids with killer mentalities this year? Because you said you didn't think we had it last year. Do you think they have it this year?
Yes. If I throw it out there, I'm going to tell you what. And it's on the D-line front. And one linebacker, I'm going to tell you, I saw him. And he's going to be a difference. The boy from Virginia Tech. I don't know his name, but he's from Virginia Tech. Yep. I met him, good kid, but he's a beast. And I think it's going to be the boy from USC and the boy from South Carolina that gave us trouble last year. He's on our team now. Those three along the front, I think that's going to make our secondary just that much better, because they're going to get pressure. And you got to throw it early. And if you throw it off a little bit, no fly zone, man, that's what I'm looking at. I think we're elite. What I'm saying elite is, now we have it. It was not a weak spot on the defense. Last year, I think a little safety. I know people say what I say, but I check him out. And you remember at the practice we was watching, somebody wasn't out there, and they were no fly zone. They didn't let a pass. They were tough. Mm. And then next week, 8-8 weekend, they were out there and we looked too vulnerable on defense. Hey, it is what it is. You know, hey, I ain't saying nothing. I ain't going to say nothing, but you know what I'm talking about. I mean, you argued about it, but you saw the difference, right?
Oh my! You talking about one day? So let me get the break, man. I appreciate you calling in, man.
All right.
We'll talk soon, brother. Good deal. All right, we gotta hit the timeout. We come back.
Experience is preferred, but not required. Apply at CoviaCorp.com or call the Covia office at 205-758-8353.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel, a specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation...
29. That's 800-923-6829. What do you have to lose? Call 800-923-6829. Again, 800-923-6829.
24/7, 365. We've got all your coverage of the Crimson Tide on Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC.
Real quick into this Wednesday edition. We got about a minute left if Seth is still on the line. Is Cedric still there, Chase?
Yeah, I'm here.
There he is. What's up, Seth?
Hey, what's going on, guy?
Man, it's been a minute, man. How you been?
Oh, man, I've been fine. Thank you for asking. You know?
Absolutely, man. How's your son doing? Is he at camp? Is he coming to camp?
He was on campus the other day, you know. We was out there the other day, you know, a couple of days ago. What, a Monday, I think.
Nice.
And
how'd it go?
Yeah, we was out. It went good, you know. I just think the count was, you know, I didn't see anything going on as far as young players coming in. They weren't real active with it. They just going through the motion. The guys that was out there. Being real talk to you, I was just sitting back because we done. I guess he kind of did that for fun, you know. But he done got a scholarship and stuff like that. But I was just, you know, I done been through that motion so many times. I was just sitting back, just looking, and I didn't see a whole lot happening for an up and coming player. They were just kind of going through the motions. I heard a couple of parents that. You know, they just taking money. You know, they weren't really giving the players no feedback and stuff like that. And
oh, man.
You know, it may be how it works. You know, but it wasn't looking real good. You know, and they weren't just talking about Alabama. They was talking about some more schools too. You know, a couple of parents there from I was talking to from St. Louis and different places, and they just had said they had been to Vanderbilt a couple of days before, and you know, this place a couple of days before. So I really was just a listener. I wasn't really adding a whole lot to their conversation, but just listening to them and just watching what went on there. You know, I don't give them a good rating as far as how that went. You know what I mean?
I hate to hear that, but. Hopefully, that might be probably some of the budget cuts. It's probably, you know, they
stuff,
show.
That stuff, hate to hear. You already know, bro.
Yeah, no, I know. What Stove just mentioned with those budget cuts, that's probably part of it, too. Normally, they used to have a whole bunch of staff out there trying to work with guys, but NIL, man, changes everything. They just cut money out from a lot of stuff. Seth, we got to get out of here because we only got 10 seconds left. But, hey, call me back tomorrow or another time. I would love to get you some more time on here. But always good to hear from you, brother.
Thanks a lot, my bro.
Yes, sir, absolutely. That'll do it for us on this Wednesday edition. Big thanks to our friends and partners, especially at Lamparello-Law.com. Make sure you guys check them out for all your representation needs, academic misconduct, NIL, criminal defense matter, plus all those services that they offer as well. Lamparello-Law.com, the official representation here on the Miller's Edge. That'll do it for us. We'll be back tomorrow, same time, same place. We'll see you guys then.